Okay, everybody, please take your seats. Be ready to come to order. Please, now. Seats. Quick. Okay. So the first item we'll deal with is announcements. So Frank, I know, has an announcement. I don't know if anybody else has an announcement, but I'll call on you as soon as Frank makes his announcement.
All right. Good day, everyone. Two short announcements. One, I think you've heard me mention briefly earlier today, but a big thing that I feel is a big thing the apprenticeship program is doing coming up, mark your calendars. This will be March 16th at 7 o'clock with the apprenticeship program. Full Circle is going to host a veterans roundtable with Iraq War Veterans Against the War, IVAW, and some women from Iraq if they agree to come. Scott Olson is so far on board to come in, and a lot of the veterans group from IVAW is going to come and have a roundtable discussion about veterans issues. You know, don't ask, don't tell. Just we got repealed. What are all the soldiers going to do when they come back? You know, basically, it's going to be a show from IVAW, but just kind of moderated by a couple hosts from the apprenticeship program. And La Onda Bajita has given us about 30 minutes, maybe more, of their time, depending on how things go. And the other big news to this is we've got the web guy that helped do Dennis Bernstein's foreclosure crisis seminar or whatever that was. It's going to be a video Ustream, so you'll be able to go to the KPFA website, click on the link, and have a video of that night of show. So I feel like it's kind of a big deal. I'm great to hear about this email list. If I can maybe get it out there, whether it works or not, it'd be great. But we really want to get a lot of people to tune into this. Mitch Jezerich agreed to, if I can get Scott Olson to come, he'll do a short interview in the lead up to our show. And I'm sure Flashpoints will. And if I can get Hard Knock Radio, any national show to cover that, it'll be great. So that's March 16th, 7 p.m., Iraq Veterans Against the War roundtable discussion on veterans issues to be video streamed through the internet. And my other announcement is the apprenticeship program is about to start accepting applications again for a new group of apprentices, and I believe we're going to kick it off. I wrote it down somewhere here, but I think it's the weekend of April 14th, Saturday, April 14th, when we're going to have another KPFA parking lot sale. So if people feel like they have useful items that they don't want but other people may want, you could probably bring them by the station. We'll stock them in the Nakapan restaurant on the corner, and then we're going to have a parking lot sale. As far as I know, it's April 14th, so the KPFA parking lot sale. I believe it's April 14th. It's a Saturday. The parking lot will be closed in the back, so remember that. And then I don't know if anyone's ever been there. We usually have bands, some interviews from the parking lot as we sell our items, so it's a pretty good thing. It's kind of like a mini crafts fair with no crafts, just old stuff. So parking lot sale April 14th in the parking lot, and then we'll raise funds for the apprenticeship program and stuff like that. I think we're going to buy a laptop computer that the apprentices could use to edit when they're out in the field and stuff like that. So that's my announcements.
Thank you. Other announcements. Janet.
So I just wanted to remind everyone tonight at 7:30 at the King Middle School, Dr. Mustafa Barghouti will be speaking. It's sponsored by Middle East Children's Alliance and co-sponsored by KPFA on the future of Palestine and the impact of the Arab Spring.
Okay, anyone else? Laura?
Everyone probably knows that the fund drive came in short. Our goal was $800,000, and we came in about $120,000 short. And it was one of the longest drives we've ever had, and as far as I remember. And also, Letters in Politics, we're going to be in Sacramento on Monday doing a two-hour special from 10 to 12 at the Education Rally, which is supposed to be really big. And they're going to try to occupy the Capitol like they did in Wisconsin. So And I'm sure we'll have reporting on it all during the day.
I wanted to tell people about another event that's co-sponsored by MECA and KPFA, and that's Dave Zirin talking about, what's he talking about? Something for children in Israel, sports under occupation. About the children who live in the Palestinian territories. And that's at the Congregational Church, right? If I got that right? On Wednesday the 14th at 7 p.m. And I just want to urge, if you've never heard Dave Zirin speak, it is really worth it. Go hear him. Read his books, too. His books are great. Okay. And subscribe to his email. You get tons of wonderful information. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Rich. I'll do that. Okay. So on another note, I have some very sad news to report. News department co-anchor, Eileen Alfandari, her oldest son died. I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. Was it about 2 weeks ago? February, when was it?
It was the Sunday before President's
Week. So the 19th, February 19th. And I understand that there will be a memorial service in a couple of weeks, and or sometime in March, actually. And I will be finding out what people can do in terms of memorial gifts. He was a physically handicapped person and lived in a facility that Eileen was instrumental in helping to establish. And I believe that people will be asked to make donations to that. But when I get that information, I'm going to send it out to the board list. But anyone who wants to communicate with Eileen and send her condolences, I'm sure would be welcome. I hope that, is she back yet? Is Eileen back? Eileen's back. Okay, so she was off on leave for a while, but she's back at the station now. Okay, so that's it on announcements, okay? All right, so the next item on the agenda is the IGM report. As you can all see, Andrew's not here today, and he gave us his report in writing, and so I want to say to people who are listening on the stream, we are not going to read Andrew's report into the record, but if you want to read it, you'll be able to go to the KPFA website, find the local station board page, and the report will be listed there along with other documents from this meeting. So I urge all of you to read Andrew's report, which was handed out, and if anybody needs a copy, Craig has a copy of it. Oh, they're back on the back table. The copies are on the back table. All right. So now we are ready for the treasurer's report. And here's Barbara.
Okay. We've passed out one of the documents. Last week you didn't have any documents, so this week you're going to have a ton. I've got some more here to hand you, but the four-month report should be in front of you. Everybody got one? It's four pages. The page numbers are up in the right-hand corner in tiny, tiny print. So you'll remember that the first page is just a summary, and I'll draw your attention to line 17, column I, which has the figure of how much less our revenue was in this four-month period than we had budgeted or speculated. $77,381. Yes. And follow that column down to line 28, and you'll see the expenses. However, direct expenses, we underspent. So we have a little bit of a wiggle room there from what was budgeted. The next line is the shared services figure. Now, this is the figure that's calculated at 19.5%, and it is really on listener support. However, the figure on listener support for the front page, the summary, actually includes the first three types of income that's on the next page where there's more of a breakdown. But if you look at line 43 in column G, that's what the figure that our 19.5% is figured on. There are some differences at the national office as to how the statements are put together. So that's why there's this conglomeration of the first three types of income listed together as though it was all listener support on the front page. I'm back to the front page now. You'll see that the bottom line, surplus deficiency after, or deficiency after capital items, is we have more of net income than we budgeted. But there are some reasons that this was happening, so let's look inside here. One of the areas that has been sensitive in our budgeting and the point of view that the National Finance Committee had when they finalized a budget for KPFA was the salary figure. So let's look at line, 61. And you'll see in column I that, yes, indeed, for salaries, we've overspent for the first 4 months $11,000. We've underspent on health benefits, but the cost of health benefits is about to go up. And I think we probably budgeted an increase in health benefits for earlier in the year than it's actually occurred. So, in other words, the health care expenses are going to be increased soon. Now, when I had to make a quarterly report to the National Finance Committee, I addressed this overrun in salaries by saying to them that, first of all, this is just the first quarter. Now we've got 4 months here. I was just talking about 3 months to them, but there was, overdraft both times. And the other thing that I had to mention was that although the National Finance Committee reduced the amount of money they wanted us to spend on salaries, that figure, when it arrived at the station, has not been divided among any departments. It has not, no department has been mandated to make any more cuts. And what I said to the Finance Committee was that a number of staff people at the station through all this period where we've been trying to control expenses and shrink them took voluntary cuts in their pay so that they could keep the same number of people working. And that is something that I think that the whole network would do well to recognize that different stations have different ideas. They respond to their listeners, what their listeners want. And this is the way that KPFA has dealt with it. We didn't get into any further discussion about what might possibly happen because of this. But I will refer you to the next section, a couple sections down, the administrative expenses on page 3, because it contains on line 107 the infamous depreciation expense, which is It has been decided by the chief financial officer that this year depreciation expense should be listed as though it's a real expense. But in fact, we used to always have it at the end after capital, included in the capital items section. And there's been a lot of back and forth about whether or not this was a good idea to list depreciation under actual expenses, but it is in fact what we're living with now. This is the way the statements are going to be, they will always contain this for this year. And it's totally unrealistic to have this figure in the budget where it is. That's my opinion and the opinion of actually, I think, our auditor. I asked him directly, and he said, well, it's more appropriate for a smaller organization. And for a larger organization like ours, it really is quite adequate to have it listed in the capital expense section. So, of course, when you're looking at this figure of $113,500 that is the year's worth of depreciation, it's really, in my mind, a shame to have it weighed against the salaries, which is about the kind of amount that we're going to be over, probably. Now, this group has questioned a number of times the expenses incurred by our contract expert, Roger, who was here talking to you about email policy, but in fact, he has a lot of the responsibility for computer maintenance and website maintenance, and he works under the direction of Michael Yoshida, and there's a couple of other people that work on this too, and we were told about the fact that you could have explanation of all the work that they do on this internal wiki. And they're kind of using the term wiki differently than it would be if it was on the internet. It is not a program where anybody can go in and enter things the way it is on the internet. It's a program that a number of the staff people use at KPFA, so I think that's why they took that name abbreviated. And so they enter tasks that need to be done and then notes about completing the work. So now the other paper I'm going to hand out to you here is there's three parts to it. The first one is it's called KPFA IT Wiki, and it's an index. So here comes the one-page index. And then next is one that's headed System Admin To-Do List. And this is also a one page, except it's got some stuff on the back. And the last one is a five-page document. It's the web to-do list. So this isn't anything that we need to act on or, you know, this is not for our approval. This is for your education. And I'm sure that after there is, you know, some period of time that you've looked it over, you might have questions. I don't expect you would have questions today. But really, I'm just giving you this so that you will have evidence of the fact that these folks are extremely organized, and they're keeping track of all the things that break down that need attention, and their regular planned work as it, you know, as it is decided upon. So then let's go back to the financial statement and the page, the last page, just point out, I think, let's see, did I do that? The deficiency, the bottom line, the surplus, we actually have a small surplus after this 4-month period. But we still have these very sensitive numbers in the midst, in the middle, particularly about the staffing. And I think that, well, there are other statements that we do periodically get. You've heard of the balance sheet. We haven't had balance sheets for a while. The National Office is having a little trouble balancing the balance sheets. Yeah, right. And but part of what's in the balance sheet are the interdepartmental monies that get transferred around, bills paid, credits given, and there are what we call the short-term figures that fit, and then there's long-term debt that goes way back. And this account has notoriously been not reconciled or partly reconciled, but in fact, in the station business office, even if they're telling us it's been reconciled, there's no detail given. So we can't examine, for instance, some bill from a legal firm to see whether all the items on it really should be paid by KPFA. I've seen a long time ago when I first took on the treasurer job, and Maria did get a couple of bills. There were items on there that were actually the national office had overlooked the fact that they needed to be paid by a different station, not by us. So there is no way currently to audit except by spending really lots of time, and we need more detail from the national office to explain what these expenses are. So Maria is much more of an expert on this account than I am, and she will be telling you a little more about this.
Did you want to report on this?
Oh, yes, I did. Sorry. Here's one more thing, just for you guys to write down. The bank balance at the end of January, which I don't think we reported last time, was $403,314. And at that point, the bills that needed to be paid or were coming up. Oh, as of today, we only have $13,192 worth of bills that were that are waiting to be paid. Now, the $13,192.
And how much do we have in the bank today?
And today in the bank, this is unreconciled because it's so early in the month, but with our remainder of what we have in Wells Fargo is about $95,470, and our Mechanics Bank account has $415,590. So altogether, we have over $500,000 in these two accounts, and the figures will be more exact once the statements are in. Thank you.
Okay, Barbara's going to have to hold me down because this is a very passionate thing for me. In terms of short-term and long-term intercompany accounts, I don't know what is why they determine that something's going to be a long-term. In an accounting aspect, a long-term is a house loan, a car loan, something that's going to take you years to pay off. A short-term is your credit card or whatever else. Currently, over all of the stations, short-term, we owe $321,000. Somehow it came out $321,000 even. It's very strange. Short-term, we owe $321,000. Long-term, we are owed $1.4 million. Okay? So that's a whole different thing. And again, like she says, it's not been reconciled. I've been asking for a reconciliation, I think, for 3 years now, and I've never received it. So I've taken it upon myself to try and reconcile. So I'm going back year by year, but I have to go all the way back to 2002. And these are, you have to understand, these are things that other people have entered, so they have their own descriptions, they have whatever. I don't know what the detail is. I'm only guessing. So I'm going to list everything down and then say, what's this, what's this, what's this? But just for the last 16 months, we have been billed $573,000 in central services. We have been billed $127,000 in what we call billbacks, which of that $127,000, $131,000 are legal bills. Okay? So that's a total of $700,000 owed to National Office between Central Services and Billbacks. Sure. Central Services total for 16 months was $573,000. Billbacks were $127,300. So it's a total of over $700,000 between billbacks and central services. And of that, approximately $131,500 are legal bills. 16 months worth of legal bills. That's it. We have paid, in actual checks, we have paid $172,000. And CPB money, bequests, stock options, all these other items have been kept by National Office that belong to us, and we never even saw that any money. It wasn't an option. They just got kept. Was $681,742 that belonged to us that we never saw.
Well, they apply it to our debts.
They apply it to our debt of the $700,000 that I just said. So the $700,000 debt is offset by $854,000 of payments and kept money, which gives us an overpayment for 16 months of $153,650.
Where is that?
Well, that's what we would like to know. $116,000 went to, well, it's more like $115,000, went basically to fight labor issues. Folger and Levin. And Deanda. And what Barbara said is true. We actually saw items on Deanda's bills that should have been billed to Kay, but they were billed to us. But I think that was only one bill that we saw, and out of $115,000, we've maybe seen three bills. That's it. And then recently, just yesterday, I was asked to pay a bill, or three bills, I should say, in the approximate amount, over $15,000, to another legal firm. And that firm has been asked to, and that firm was Colvin and Adler, I think it was. That firm was asked to review the bylaws. This would be Pacifica Network bylaws without, I assume, the request of the PNB, but ED requested that this law firm review the bylaws to determine whether the director's inspection that was requested by this LSB and that the recall and other issues around elected members be reviewed. So basically, well, I don't want to say what I would assume, but you guys can all make your own assumptions. And that's a $500 an hour attorney, mind you. $500 an hour. Yeah.
I'm asking that you all hold your questions, write them down, let Maria finish, and then we'll have a full discussion on the complete financial report, okay?
Well, there's not much more that I have to say other than, you know, Barbara always teases me because I always have a lot of sayings of, you know, apples and oranges and all that kind of stuff. But its bottom line is that if Visa were to send you a bill in the mail and say you owe $10,000, would you just pay it without asking what that was about? You know? So I've asked. Barbara has asked. And, you know, that's... Oh, I do want to, real quick, the other money that we do have that I forgot to tell Barbara about is we will have another $49,000 released because we are moving from Mechanics Bank, excuse me, Wells Fargo to Mechanics Bank. And it's the remainder of the CD because $100,000 of it was taken by National Office to pay off the line of credit that National Office used. Anyway, that $49,000 will be coming back to us, we hope. Keep your fingers crossed. Because Mechanics Bank does not require a collateral of that money for our ACHs, which is just money coming in from our listeners. Currently, I'm having some issues with getting my total access to Mechanics Bank because our CFO needs to give me total access just to do the transactions that I need to do to actually do the month-end close. So hopefully I'll have the month-end close done by next week. That's it.
I have one thing to say about just the general complication of how the money goes in this organization. Because, of course, the National Office has no other money to pay its own expenses except from the stations. So we're in this strange situation, for instance, if there's some lawsuit like as we have experienced, and one side wins, they end up still paying the bill as though they lost because we're not a corporate, you know, we're not a for-profit corporation. There's not some kind of... separate fund that pays for this sort of thing. And so it is very tricky. Once we start arguing with each other and have lawsuits, we still can end up paying for them. We need to make some... I think there needs to be some change, and I'm not quite sure what it is. It sounds like a really big one to me.
Sorry. I do want, the spirit of transparency, I have brought Frank in, I have brought Laura in, because they're just accessible to me. I welcome anybody, with appointment, please, don't just drop in. Sasha has been in, but with appointment, I'd be more than happy to sit down with anybody who wants to come in. You know, I have nothing to hide. I actually have a lot to show, you know, as much as I can, anyway. But I think everybody needs to, you know, see what, you know, if we're owed $1.4 million, what is that? If we're not going to get it off the books. Write it off. I don't know. I don't know how it all works. But the bottom line is that as of the last 16 months, we are overpaid by $153,000, yet we keep being asked for money. We paid for, as I'm sure a lot of you have known, heard, we paid for almost $48,000 for BAI's payroll 2 payrolls ago. And I asked for the payment because we were promised the payment by February 12th. Didn't get a response. Finally pushed the issue with through my general manager. And I was told that it would go against the central services type of... We'd get credit for it, which is all in here as well. And PRA is asking for money. But the way I see the books, we've overpaid Pacifica Radio Archives. I feel bad because they need money, so I was going to give them another 10 grand and just keep it on the books. But again, we need to have this detail. We can't just keep giving money away.
Okay, so now we're at the point where we're going to have questions for Barbara and Maria, and I'll call on the people and they'll respond. So what I see right now is... Janet, thank you. Sharam, oh yes, thank you very much, ladies, I apologize. Anthony, anybody else, any other questions out there right now? Jack, okay, that's what I got so far. So go ahead, Janet.
Yes, Maria, thank you both for your reports, and Maria in particular, I will try to take you up on your offer to come in. However, I'm wondering whether you would be willing to write up something like what you just reported to us and you know, for the LSB, listing the items and the descriptions and the sources, like what line numbers even, from what source, et cetera. Well, to this, but also to whatever else any bank accounts or the PNB, or yeah.
Okay, so Janet asked and Maria affirmed that she would do that. Next on the list is Sharam.
Yes, thank you for the report. I appreciate it. I have a few questions actually. I see an item for donations in the month of December. It's item number line 11. On the first page. That's an impressive number, $139,000. And seems like it put us ahead of the schedule for our budget. Do we have any idea where it's coming from, or is it major donors, or?
What line
do you want? Line 11. It's good news, actually, if that's.
I'm embarrassed to say, serious.
Okay.
I believe these are donations outside of right. fundraising.
That's what I understand.
In other words,
major donors?
Is it major donors?
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably components
of it. I just
can't
remember the detail at the moment.
Right, I understand. But that's very good.
Well,
actually.
Major donors is the list above that.
Right.
So it's.
Yeah. It includes, I think, major donors.
But he's talking about.
He's talking about line 11, which includes major donors.
It
fine.
Includes major
he's
donors. Fine.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
So that's good news, actually, given the fact that we are looking for other sources of income. So that's good. What is the other grants in November, $10,000, item number 14 or line 14, rather?
The grant? Did you? I can't hardly hear you.
Yes, the grant for $10,000.
In November?
Yes.
That was actually a donor who called the donation a grant.
Oh, I see.
And it
okay.
needs to be moved to a different All right. account.
Fair enough.
It's still the same amount of money, but...
It's still revenue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I noticed the CPB money, CPB grants, what we get from CPB, is above and beyond the budget we had anticipated. That's line item number 13.
On that, I cannot speak because one of the convoluted ways of how this network does their accounting is I do part of the accounting,
I see.
And National Office does the other part of the accounting.
Okay.
That's where I have the lack of transparency that I've always requested because I don't enter that information. Lynn Magno from National Office, the controller there, does that. So I would love to be able to have more information, access, knowledge.
If I'm not mistaken, this is the amount. These figures represent the amount that would be ours.
Yes.
But in fact, they keep it. They put it on our books, and they apply it towards the various debts.
Sure. Okay. I have two more items, and I'll make it quick, Margie. One has to do with this first question I asked about major donors. It's on. It's the second. Actually, it goes back to major donors. It's line number 46, 104,500. I know you can't speak as to the details, but is it like one person or is it a couple of people?
No. Okay. I would remember that.
Yeah, because we're almost reaching the milestone. I mean, we're reaching the goal for the year almost.
Right.
110,000. So that's good news. I think that's something to celebrate, I suppose.
And let me tell you that is like, you know, just the pure luck, because we have, also it could be that, you know, whatever was relationships was or manifested some years ago are now coming in.
Sure.
But with a lack of development director,
On item one, I mean, line 119, website expenses, I see an overrun of almost 500%. What's going on here? 30,000.
Those other pages that I distributed to you, should at least verify that these people are in fact working. They're doing a lot of stuff for the station.
Okay.
And you know, when we talked about this before, there are some. He's talking about
119
website.
It's 100% overrun almost.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you that. Well, again, Barbara said, you know, she passed around the to-do list, which is on the wiki 119. Mm.
Okay.
And that is, you know, I guess it's like you can't really guess whether your car is going to break down next month or next 6 months and that you have to put a new transmission in it. This, I can't speak for the details of it. Hmm. I can only say that possibly we under budgeted just because.
Well, part of it was that we budgeted for certain things we knew they wanted to do.
I see.
But the emergency things that come up, you can't tell what that's going to be. And so that's why I asked for a printout from this list of their tasks. And when somebody, you know, goes on and notes that the server is doing, and we'd better, you know.
I mean.
And we knew, by the way, when you made cuts in the budget, that this was a very unreliable place to cut, because there would be these unforeseen things that would come up.
Because I know website has been a matter of attention for a lot of us, and again, I'm a layperson myself, but I don't see anything that stands out about that website that has. So I would like to get some details perhaps from Andrew or somebody even next
time. Well, the number one, the she did give you detail.
Sure.
That five-page thing.
Yeah. And number two, I know that Roger is always, I mean, I'm speaking for him, but he has said he will talk to anybody, you know, who wants to know more detail. But
we pay for his time.
Yeah, we pay for his time. So make your, you know, questions.
Get questions together.
And finally, this is the last question, I promise. Line number 147, where we have community event expenses.
147.
Community event expenses, you know, they're up again by quite a bit. And much. Do you know why? I mean, it's a lot of money, but
it's not
relatively speaking.
With Crafts Fair, it's a bit different. I mean, I know exactly when the bills are going to come up or whatever. But with community events.
No, he's asking. I thought you said line 127?
147.
Oh, okay, sorry.
On community events, what's going on is that. God love Bob Balduck, but I can't pin him down to tell me what he's going to be doing in 12 months. So I just basically took the last year's budget and distributed it amongst, you know, 12 months or whatever. So it's just a matter of timing. In the end, it'll work its way out. Real quick, in terms of, before anybody maybe asks the question, in terms of the salary overrun, like Barbara says, or said, is that the salary overrun is because the National Finance Committee just cut straight across the board on salaries. And they did that based on, like Barbara said, on the depreciation. Depreciation is a non-tangible item. We also budget for capital items that you see on line 167 to 175. Basically, putting depreciation is, it could be budgeted for, that's fine, but it's not a cash flow number. You don't lay off people based on the depreciation of your equipment. We also have it here as capital items. So basically, the budget is double dipping on the replacement of our equipment or whatever, our fixed assets, and in depreciation. So never should people be laid off based on your furniture getting depreciated. So,
I'd like to go back to the question about the community events expenses that were over. If you look up on line 49 in the revenue section, then you'll see that actual income was far and above what was budgeted. So in just, the net there, he did not cost us money at all.
I'm also working to do more of like what I did with the crafts fair. I'm working on to do with community events.
Okay. Next person on the list is Anthony.
Yeah, Sharam anticipated some of my questions, but I'd like to look again at major donor income. That where we had a piece of good news in the revenue realm. From year to year, you budget for it, but how predictable is it? Can you budget something and it'll turn out being four times as big or 25% as big? Is it?
If we had a development director, I would be able to budget for it, but at this point, it's your best guess or my best guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally, I think I've said this before, I go running around the station saying, look, we got a $20,000 check, because it's a total fluke. I have not a clue.
Someone dies, Anthony.
Well, no, that could be, but yeah.
There are, we know that there are, in past years, there have been families or groups that have bequested money to the station, mm-hmm. which doesn't really come to fruition until a few years pass, a number of years can pass. Mm-hmm. And it's a development director is the kind of person who tracks that sort of information, mm-hmm. who attends to it when things need to be done. And so we don't have that capability at the station. The CFO claims that a person on her staff is doing it, but this person is doing about three jobs now. And it's a very bad mix.
Also, in terms of, to piggyback on that, I said that there were bequests that were kept by national office. It was $115,000 were kept in April from a family named Lutz, who intended KPFA to have the money. And
I believe for programming.
And we only found out about it because it showed up on my books, and that's it. That's how I found out about it. And then the same thing happened with another family named Sanjeans, who left us $100,000.
Recently.
Yeah, that was back in December. And again, I found out about it just by examining the books. And then about $9,500 in stock options that were, I guess, cashed in. That happened in September. Again, these are all things that a development director would be able to say to me, you can't expect, Mr. Lutz or whatever passed away, and once the attorneys in here couldn't probably say it better, but, you don't just get the money immediately. There's got to be a matter of time and whatever, but I have no idea what's out there. So we could have more money just kept once again without us knowing. So.
But this and this is no.
Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anthony.
So then this is no indication that the next 4 months might be better or might be worse. Okay.
Okay. We are over time on this agenda item. We should have finished about 10 minutes ago. I don't want to cut off anybody, but I want to remind people that we have to do the PMB committee assignments today, that we must do that. And so as soon as we can get through with this, perhaps we should go to that agenda item. Yeah, I was going to call on you. I thought you had a question, Jack. Go ahead. Yeah, use a microphone, please.
On procedure, I suggest that I find the switch to this microphone and suggest that we stop the clock on this item, go to the PNB committee item, and then come back to the treasurer's report so that we can make sure that we do the business that we have to do today.
So that's a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections to the motion? Okay, good. All right. So here's what I know. There are a lot of committees, kids, and the PMB has assigned directors to almost all of them. The Finance Committee is contested and will be decided, I guess, at a PMB meeting. I don't know if it's the next PMB meeting, but soon. What? Oh, it's a mail-in ballot. Okay. So, yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Winner will be announced on
Monday. Oh, okay. All right. Not to worry. Okay, it's a contested election between Tracy Rosenberg and Dan Siegel. And according to the list on the web, there is no director who's been assigned to the affiliates task force. Do our members on the PMB agree with that? Okay. So here we go. We need to assign two members of this LSB to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 committees. That's like two each, which means that some people have to, like myself, have to serve on two committees. So what we did last time was we filled these positions with volunteers. If there are too many volunteers for one position, then we'll have to figure out how to resolve that. We'll take a vote or something. I guess we'll take a vote. But let me just start with volunteers. Currently on the audit committee, Anthony and I are serving. I am willing to continue. Are you willing to continue, Anthony?
We may have another volunteer.
Okay, we have another volunteer. Aki, are you volunteering? Okay.
Audit committee.
Are there any other volunteers?
Could you name the committees?
Yeah, I did. Oh, you want me to name all the committees?
Yes.
Okay. Audit, talk about. Okay, never mind. Audit Committee, Coordinating Committee, Elections Committee. The Finance Committee is determined separately. We don't appoint anybody to that. It's the Treasurer plus other. Okay. The Governance Committee, the Personnel Committee, the Programming Committee, Racism and Sexism, the Affiliates Task Force, the Development Task Force, Financial Recovery, and the Tech Committee. Financial Recovery is different, right? Okay, so
only people from who are on the audit committee or the finance committee can be on this financial recovery task force.
All right. So now we have to begin. So the PMB member who's been assigned to the audit committee is Laura Privis, and I volunteered and Aki volunteered as board members. Are there any other volunteers? I will take that. I will assume that that is unanimous consent.
What was that again, please?
That was the audit committee. Okay? All right. The coordinating committee, Tracy Rosenberg is the PMB member assigned, and I don't know who's currently on the coordinating committee. Is there anybody here on the coordinating committee? Oh, is that the PMB only? Oh, good. Okay. Good. That's great. That's wonderful. I like that. Okay. The elections committee. Tracy. For what? The elections committee. Well, let's see. Currently, myself and Anthony are on the elections committee. I would love to be replaced. Anthony, what is your feeling?
I'll do another term.
You'll do another term? Jack, are you volunteering? Very good. So Jack will be on the elections committee with Anthony. No other volunteers, right? I'm not cutting anybody out of this deal. Okay. The finance committee is determined otherwise. Never mind. The governance committee. Are there currently, we have Sasha and Mal on the governance committee. Are there any other volunteers? Okay. So now, I believe, let's see. Sasha and Mal, do you both want to continue?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's set that one aside because we'll have to have an election on that one. Okay. Sasha, Mal, and Sharam. Okay. Personnel committee. The PMB members are Andrea Turner and Tracy Rosenberg. And I don't know if there's anybody on this board who is currently on the personnel committee. Is there? The PMB personnel committee? Are there any volunteers for the PMB personnel committee?
Point of information, isn't that PMB only?
Oh, is that PMB only? Personnel? We do? They think it's some. He said it's. But wait a minute. No, but listen, but there were on that list were the coordinating committee. Yeah. I think there may be a problem. Let's okay. Programming committee. Laura Privis is the PMB member. Let's hold that one aside. Somebody try and figure out if we're supposed to assign somebody to the personnel committee. Programming committee. Laura Privis is the PMB member. Is there anyone who's currently serving on the programming committee? Are there any volunteers? Con Hallinan. Anybody else? And Henry. Okay. Is that good? Are we good with that? Okay. Okay. Racism and sexism. Andrea Turner is the PMB member currently assigned to that committee. Are there any volunteers to be on that committee? Oh, come on. Somebody wants to be on this committee. Tanya. Anybody else? We get two. She's the PMB. Okay, thank you, Kate. Okay. The Affiliates Task Force. Isn't Cynthia currently serving on the Affiliates Task Force? And are you willing to continue? Okay. Is anyone else interested in serving with Cynthia on the Affiliates Task Force? Andrea. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Okay. It doesn't look like we have a PMB member assigned to that, but there are other people on there. So, okay. Development Task Force. Laura Privis is the PMB member assigned. Who's willing to be on the Development Task Force?
I'd like to be on that.
Okay. Cynthia. Anyone else? Anyone else? Going once, going twice? Come on. Where's your spirit of... Okay. How does the financial recovery committee is assigned some other way, right? Okay. Who want to? Got it. Okay. So the last one is the tech committee. Dan Siegel is the PMB member assigned to that. And Henry, you've been serving on the tech committee, which has never met in 27 years, right? Janet wants to do it. Do you want to continue, Henry? We get two people. Okay, so Henry and Janet, we'll do that. Okay, so now to the governance committee, where we have a three-way lineup of Sasha, Mal, and Sharam. So we're going to have a vote. And Craig's been sitting here making ballots. So, and you get to vote for two. And I guess it's, is it one of those things, those kind of strange counting? Who's going to count it? Well, it's not like you count 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Isn't it an STV? Henry, what is it? Okay. Okay, thank you. I like that very much. Okay, so vote for two. That your choices are Sasha Mal Sharam. Got that? Huh? This is the governance committee. I don't have any idea what the governance committee does. Somebody can tell me who's... Wait. Can Rich Withers vote on this?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Governance committee governance.
Okay. After you vote for two, your choices are Sasha, Sharam, and Mal. For governance. And Jack, why don't you collect ballots? Do you mind doing that and putting them up here? And then Tanya and Craig can count them. Or maybe Craig shouldn't do it. Tanya and Henry. Henry, are you willing to help count? Okay. They're all up here, Henry. I think people turned them in. Henry or Tanya? Anybody got a ballot that needs to be turned in? Okay. All right. Now we're gonna go back and finish the questions and discussion on the finance report. And Jack was up next. You're done? Okay. Okay, Andrea. Give that woman a mic.
Chick.
I had a question. You know, I'm still trying to, in my mind, to get a clear sense of the organizational structure of KPFA. And apparently there's this guy named Bob Baldock, and I'm not totally sure what he does. And, you know, it's one of those areas of, like, redundancy, I think, infrastructural redundancy. You know, when you think about, he's one of those people that's producing community events. So what I notice with community events is that it seems like it says that the projected income for this year is $34,000. So I'm curious if he's a paid employee, what his salary is, and should we be thinking about ways to kind of at least use that position to build infrastructure? So I'm curious, you know, because is it just like an outreach kind of thing, or is it a moneymaker?
He has...
Talking about his salary.
He has expertise and contacts. That's all I'm saying.
But isn't it also true that anybody in the organization who makes over $50,000 a year, that's public information, right? It should be on the internet. That's 1099
kind of
stuff.
There is some salary information revealed in the 990 forms that are filed yearly.
So he
wouldn't be on that list.
Well, it depends. I'm not sure. They've changed the regulations lately about
what our organization actually has to report, and it's gone up to 100,000. So there's a lot of salaries in our organization that are no longer listed that used to be.
Wow. So what do we budget? I mean, with the crafts fair, it seems like we accounted for the salary of the crafts fair coordinator.
Mm-hmm. I'm
just trying to do cost benefit.
I accounted for her salary on that one particular handout I did. It's not, all of us, are in line item 21. We're all grouped in there. Salaries and related expenses.
So are the figures at line 12, are they gross?
Wait.
Yes, that's
line 12 is the community events and the crafts fair together.
And it's only revenue. It's gross revenue.
And if you go to the second page, lines 49 and 50 show the income for the community events, and then the separate line for the crafts fair income.
And then the very last. Wow. And then 147 and 148 are expenses, and those expenses do not include their salaries.
On which line did you just refer
147
to?
147 and 148.
147 and 148.
Those are community events and crafts fair events.
That doesn't include salaries.
That is pure... operational expenses.
Right. So if we add salary to that 14,000, does the events coordinator get health benefits from us?
Does he get what?
Health
so
benefits.
What it's looking to me is looks. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It looks that when I add the expenses of the community events, and if I add my best guess of what an events coordinator might make, it looks like we're losing money on that.
Well, first of all, like I said, I do not know, I cannot predict who's coming in, what the community events are going to be. So my...
Based on our projections for the year, we're projecting that community events will not make more money than they cost.
Well, actually, the total budget is there. If you look on column K... Line 147
right.
is the expenses that we're showing,
right.
14,000, and then...
And 49 is the income.
Exactly.
And so if it's 34, so if we know, so $20,000, so if we're paying the events coordinator with salary and benefits more than $20,000 a year, then basically we're losing money on community events.
Well, let me just say, I just couldn't only state the facts, and I mean...
Is that a fact?
I guess, are you saying that we should just eliminate the community events
coordinator? No.
Okay,
no.
Well, I don't know what
I'm asking for facts. Just confirm the facts.
Yes, we also, that is very true. Thank you, Pam. A lot of the community events are also used as premiums, DVDs and CDs. So he is also invaluable in getting our premiums as well. So
In theory,
you would be right.
My motive is to try to consolidate.
Well, pardon me?
My motive is to try to consolidate. I'm trying to look at what is the job description of the events coordinator, and are there aspects of that job that would overlap with crafts fair, that would overlap with other aspects? And I'm talking about development infrastructure, developing an infrastructure within KPFA so that he doesn't have his own publicity mechanisms and so forth. I feel like we should have a publicist inside of KPFA. If what we're doing is outreach and all this kind of stuff, then it seems like the G&E tree and, you know, the stuff that you guys, we should have an overall approach to outreach. Everything, you know, it doesn't all boil down to dollars to me. You know, I think there are non-quantifiable benefits. I mean, the station isn't, we're not a for-profit, I understand that. But I do see redundancy, and it feels like folks have mapped out their own little territories. And it's organizationally inefficient in my mind.
Excuse me. Let me say that I think that what you are, it's funny to look at you through the roses, that what you're saying is not necessarily wrong or inappropriate.
it is exactly the kind of thing that I think a general manager should look at and consider and review and make proposals about. That is exactly the kind of thing that should happen. I don't think it's appropriate for us to do that necessarily, but I do think we should task a general manager with doing that kind of thing. That's my personal opinion. I'm going to call on Dan, and then I'm going to call on Jack.
So, I mean, I was going to say that Andrea's points are interesting, but they're really not on the agenda. I mean, we're not discussing adopting a budget today and making decisions about whether items should or should not be in the budget, right? We're responding to the report that we've been given by the treasurer and finance manager for the station, so... But I think when we get around to discussing the budget, I think your points are completely appropriate.
Jack.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Once again, for the seventh consecutive board meeting. Seventh.
Jack.
Seven board meetings.
Jack.
Just a second, Margie. I haven't hardly spoken. Now, at the last board meeting, when Andrew... what gave his report, he was specifically asked by me if it was legitimate to consider the crafts fair and its expenses as a legitimate integral part of the KPFA budget. And he said no. And I asked him specifically, is the crafts fair self-supporting? And he said, yes. And I asked him, does that include the salary and the benefits of the director of the crafts fair? And he said, yes. And then I asked him if there was money involved in the crafts fair that could be invested someplace else in the station, and he said no, because the crafts fair is an entirely self-supporting operation that simply returns money to the station. Now, since this fact, this true fact, this clear fact, this self-evident fact has been repeated at the board for the last seven board meetings, and each successive board meeting, once again, the issue of the crafts fair comes up in this context, pretending that there are resources associated with the crafts fair that could be invested someplace else in the budget, a clearly false statement. I have to believe that there is something about the crafts fair that people don't like and that they want to somehow or other change or eliminate the crafts fair. So I would appreciate it, in the interests of something or other, if someone who has been opposing the crafts fair for all of these months would say what they don't like about the crafts fair. Jesus died on the cross, Anthony. You cannot make a cross by bashing your hands together.
Thank you. Hey, okay, hold it, everybody. I would appreciate it if people would just talk about what you want to see happen, and not, you know. Anyway, never mind. I won't say anymore. Sasha wanted to say something. I want to point out that we're at 4:15. We do have some other items on the agenda which we could deal with. I will point out that the KFCF... Whoa. report was handed out is a written report, which is handed out, and everybody can take a look at it. Okay? Oh, and let me report on the election. The votes were Mal 11, Sasha 14, Sharam 9. So Mal and Sasha are elected. Okay. What? Did we do something wrong? What? I don't know. Okay. That was the governance committee. Okay?
Is that more than the number of people who are here?
No, we counted people with the ballot.
You get to vote for two, so there can be a total of whatever it is, 50 votes. Yes. Okay. So I called on Sasha, then I'll call on you, Janet. Hang on. Go ahead, Sasha.
Hi.
Wait a minute. So one, two, though.
I actually...
You have two names on the paper. You count the number once. You don't count...
Some people voted for two, some people don't.
Right, but you don't... Right, but I'm saying that... Right. But you vote for two people, the second name is in the second position, so it's does that.
Some people just voted for one person.
Right. Some people voted for two.
That's the number one vote. Okay? You have two names.
It wasn't STP. It was
STP. Wait a minute. Hold on a second, Aki. Before we counted the votes, I asked if this ballot had to be counted according to the STD rules, and Henry said because there were only three people on the ballot, we could just count the votes.
Right.
Now,
that is true. What he's saying by STD vote with the three people is that just by counting the votes of number ones and number twos, when you vote two, that you can tell how many people got number one votes and how many people got number two votes. So that it's easy. You don't have to go through all of the iterations, is what he was saying. So it's still STV. You're still voting for two people. And so you,
wait a minute.
If you vote for two people, you're not voting both in the first place.
Okay, and let me ask it.
Where you're counting is that if you put two people, you're saying both of them are number one votes. And that's not the way it works. When you vote for two people, the first name is the number one vote, and the second name is the second name vote.
Hold on. Are you challenging the count?
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah,
you're challenging the count. Henry,
no,
would you?
Your counting method is totally erroneous.
Okay, I've got nothing. I don't even begin to understand STV voting.
Well,
okay, Henry wants to speak. Pass him the microphone, please.
I'm sorry. I think I misled us, and I think Aki's 100% right, because we counted the second place votes and the method by just counting the total number of votes for each candidate. It counts the first and second vote place votes equally, and we should have just counted the first place votes for each candidate. So we made a mistake, I think.
Okay.
Can I speak?
Tanya.
We did not have instructions prior to this voting about number ones and number twos.
Okay.
I just wrote the names down that I was going to write down. I didn't write them in a particular order because it wasn't that kind of party. Some people put just one name. Some people put two names. Some people put two names for people that are on different groups in this group. But I'm just saying that was not the instruction.
Okay.
So... I'm saying we were not told
we have
to vote like this.
Wait.
Excuse me. One moment.
No, wait a second.
No.
Hold
we
on.
Voted according to Henry made his suggestion. You accepted it, and we voted. And there was nothing wrong with the way we voted.
Okay.
And there was nothing wrong with the way it was counted.
I'm sorry. It's a misinterpretation of the Bible.
Yes.
Says
I get it, Aki. Thank you. People, Wait, hold on a second. If you are satisfied with the way you cast your vote originally, I don't think you need to revote the ballots. Just can we do it that way? Can we just recount the ballots?
Sure.
We have to redo the vote.
No,
the bylaws say it has to be done according to STD. So that means the people have STV, whatever it is.
Right.
sexual. I'm doing sexually transmitted diseases. You guys are talking about single transferable vote. Okay, now that means you have to vote again. Okay, and vote. And your first name you write on the ballot will be your first choice. The second name you write on the ballot will be your second choice. If you only want to vote for one person, that's fine. You may not vote for more than two. Your choices are Sasha, Mal, Sharam. Got it? Okay. Ballots need to be distributed. Here. Okay. Oh, you got to make more? Okay. Tanya, do you want to vote for a forensic ballot? Oh, you can't leave without him. All right, you guys vote.
Madam Chair?
All
that's in dispute is the counting process. All that needs to be done is the number of first-place votes.
No. I disagree, Anthony. I wish you were right, but I think you're wrong. Okay. Yeah, everybody, we're going to do it. Craig is passing out ballots right now. Heads up, everybody. Dan's going to give a PMB report. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sasha. Speak.
As somebody who's been, for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, I've been doing a lot of outreach. That is, I haven't been going to committee meetings and I'm not on the committee, but I go and do the outreach, which mostly is done by non-committee members. But... And I wanted to say a couple of things. I think that, we're talking about, first of all, we're talking about two different people who have a lot of experience at what they're doing. I mean, Jan has been doing the crafts fair forever and has it down pat. And, I don't know who could replace Bob, quite frankly, in terms of, lining up speakers. I have only gone to standing room only events, and I've been to almost all of them, or at least heard about all of them, since like October. And they're standing room only, folks. They're dragging chairs out of closets and sticking them in rooms after the fact. So they're highly successful. However, I do agree, believe it or not, Andrea. Yeah, I do. I mean, I find it as shocking as you do, maybe more so. Yeah, right, you probably will. But, it does strike me that there's, like, the PR aspect of things that was mentioned, may or may not be a forte. I mean, I know we saw $11,000 for public relations in the budget, and it seemed to get listings and postings, and that, to me, sounds like an awful lot of money to be paying a publicist to get listings. I mean, listings... any one of us can do. We don't need any contacts whatsoever. We just need to know what the deadlines are and to, follow their format. Do they want the date first? Do they want the name of the event first? Do they want the venue first? I mean, that's all you got to get down. And, a volunteer could do that, actually. I just think that if we're talking about PR for the station, that is kind of a specialized skill, and if we're paying for PR, we ought to be getting newspaper articles, we ought to be getting people on a TV show, we ought to be getting people, you know, we ought to be getting out there, we ought to be getting something more for the money. And it is, you know, it is the same, it is a set of skills, it's a set of contacts, and you know, people running events may or may not have them. I mean, I, you know, and this is not a statement about either of those two people, because I don't know whether they do or not. I think when it comes to authors and events, I'll bet Bob has an awful lot of great contacts in the media because he was affiliated with a bookstore for many, many, many years and so forth, and he, you know, lines up the greatest authors for us. I mean, they swing through town with their book and they hit us, you know, for progressive books and things. So, it's not a challenge, you know, to any of the personnel involved, but it is saying, you know, there are things that perhaps we could look at to see how we get more bang for our buck.
Okay, I guess we're finishing the discussion on the finance report. Okay, then I'm going to call on Dan to make a...
I was next.
Oh, you were next.
Wait, hold on a second. What, Janet, what? You have a clarifying question about the committees? Go ahead.
So I just wanted to know what, all right, I volunteered for a committee. What's going to happen now?
Oh, okay.
Am I going to be contacted, or do I have to contact, or whatever? That's
okay. What'll happen is that
don't
everyone
hold
who's,
your breath is what's going to happen.
Yeah, really.
I know how these things work.
It eats up your entire life. Okay. What's going to happen is I'm going to send an email to Bill Crozier, who is, I don't know, from T? Is he from KPFT?
Texas.
Okay.
He's the bureaucrat in chief.
He's the bureaucrat in chief on the PMB. And I will send him the names of the people and their contact information who volunteered for each of the committees, and then you will be contacted by the chair of those committees, okay? Thank you. That was a good question, Janet. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't say that earlier. I'm going to let Dan make a PMB report.
Obviously, everybody wants to leave, so I'm not going to make a long report. But there's something that's very important that's happened, which is that the PNB, in response to the auditor's threat to give us a going concern rating, which means the auditor was saying publicly that Pacifica may not survive, Pacifica presented the auditor with its financial recovery plan this past Monday. And that is something that, not today, but that we all need to spend some time looking at and thinking about, because one could very easily wonder whether the financial recovery plan that was presented is actually viable. And that's all I'm going to say today, but I think it's something we really need to put some time and attention to. And I will make sure that people get copies before the next meeting, but hopefully we can make it one of our more substantial items of discussion then.
Thank you, Dan. I just received a copy of the frat report by email from Tracy, who said that she was instructed to send it to all of the chairs of the LSB, and I didn't have time to do with anything with it before this meeting, but I will forward it to everybody. You will all have it, and we will put it on the agenda for the next meeting. I want to remind people that when Craig passed out minutes this morning, he passed out minutes of a portion of the last meeting that was confidential. Those minutes will have to be approved in a confidential session at our next meeting. Please don't leave them. Please don't give them to anyone else, okay? Thank you very much. And Craig has a report on the election outcome.
Okay, the new and improved election results are, thanks to Tanya and to Henry, Sharam was the first choice, first vote getter, and then Sasha was number two. So those are the two folks headed off to the governance committee.
Okay. Yeah, we're adjourned. Please stay and help fold up chairs and tables. Thank you all very much. And people should take the roses.